Blog Talk Radio.
All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to Big 12 Nation. Let's get right into the stories. And the first story I want to get into is talk about the ex-Texas A&M linebacker who is what I call snitching. And I want to break down what snitching means. Snitching doesn't mean doing the right thing. So if you're doing the right thing, no, that's not snitching. So, for example, if somebody is breaking into a house across the street and it's your neighbor's house and you call the cops, that's a good citizen. If somebody's breaking in the windows or vandalizing property in your neighborhood and you calling cops or you taking it upon yourself to hold them until cops come or do something about it, no, that's a good citizen. Let me explain to y'all what snitching is. Snitching is when you like something and you indulge in something and you enjoy it, and then later on you try and get somebody else in trouble who is guilty of the exact same thing as you were because you want an easy way out. You don't want to take that punishment, so you got to enjoy having the fun of doing something wrong, but then when it came time for trouble, you didn't have to take the same punishment because you tattletale first. That's snitching. That's a big difference. So I want everybody to understand that. Like, some people think snitching is doing, no, snitching is not doing the right thing and taking care of your neighbors and calling the cops when breaking in. The snitching is this situation here in college football and College Station. And I know we're not a part of Big 12 Nation. I mean, I know they're not a part of Big 12 Nation anymore. But this linebacker who wants to get Texas A&M in trouble so he can be eligible right away, it's kind of disgusting to me. And his name is Santonio Marchio. He said a linebacker coach gave him $300 and $400 at one point to help host recruits. To me, it's kind of petty because it's not like he gave him $4,000, $3,000. It's $300, $400. I mean, that's getting the kid a hotel room, that's taking him out to get good lunch and stuff like that, maybe buy him some clothes. That's not that much damn money at all compared to what the NCAA makes and what everybody makes. It's actually kind of stupid that he would do that. And the only reason he's doing it is because he wants to be eligible right away. So if I'm the NCAA, the first thing I ask this kid is, okay, did you take the money? And if he says yes, I want to say, all right, now I'm going to suspend you because you took the money, you spent the money, you used the money, you didn't give it back to me right there on the spot. But now that you want something, you're tattletaling, but you didn't tell right away, you didn't keep the money right away. So it's kind of frustrating and upsetting to see these kids do this thing. It's kind of like the guy at UNC. When he was at UNC the whole time cutting classes and taking money and getting away with it, it was cool. Now that he's 40-something years old and he can't find a job and basketball didn't work out and he had to play overseas all these years, now he's taking money from the media for an article. And it's just kind of disgusting. And it's kind of like what I try and tell these players who are running around here thinking it's cool to skip bowl games. You better be loyal to your school, because when you're loyal to your school, they will take care of you. I'm going to say that again. When you're loyal to your school, they will take care of you, no matter what. They'll find a way for you to come back and get a degree or get you a job on campus. They'll go with an alumni or a booster or somebody and help you get into a good situation. However, if you take this road that you're taking, people are going to remember this, and they're not going to want nothing to do with you. And the media will be moved on to the next story. So if the linebacker didn't think it was wrong when he took the money and he spent the money and he used the money, then he shouldn't think it's wrong now that he's trying to get into another school. That's not cool that because you want to be eligible right away, you want to get somebody else in trouble when you accepted it. To me, it's like accepting $1 million from somebody, spending it, enjoying it, buying cars and houses, and then somebody later on be like, well, yeah, I knew that he robbed a bank, but I just used the money anyway. to me, guess what happens in real life? You go to jail, too, because you're a complicit now because you're taking stolen money. If you didn't know it was stolen, that's one thing. But if you clearly knew what was going on was illegal, but you were having a good time spending it, then to me, you're just as bad. So that's all I wanted to say about that situation with the linebacker who's trying to transfer from Texas A&M to Arizona. The NCAA needs to say, okay, well, since you came forward and said that, now I'm going to suspend you for a season anyway because you took the money with no problem, but now you want to get over and now you're snitching on people? Like, that's just not cool. That's what, like, and this is what they have taught these kids is to be tattletales and snitches on people who are taking care of you. That's not cool because then nobody's going to take care of you and then they're going to cry victimhood soon and say, well, nobody wants to help us out. Yeah, because you're dumb. You listen to everything the media says and these other soft-ass people, excuse my language, and you put yourself in bad situations, and then the people who try and help you out of bad situations, you snitch on them right away. It's crazy. So let's get to the whole Urban Meyer thing, and then we'll get to everything else. I want to let everybody know that where was that? I'm sorry. I got cut off. It was a goofy thing. With the whole Urban Meyer situation, so let's get to it. And I'm going to break it down simple. I'm not going to go into big arguments and details. Here's the deal, man. Two people were getting a great check from Ohio State University, a check that most of us may not ever see in our lifetime in 1 year, okay? They didn't know how to work out their marriage. They were irresponsible as hell. So they dragged everybody and their mom down with them because their marriage is on the rocks. The only people I have a problem with is Zach Smith and his wife because they didn't know how to control their damn marriage like freaking adults. And the Ohio State University, which paid you very well to be a football coach and paid her very well to sit her ass at home and be a stay-home mom, y'all brought everybody else involved. So to me, you screwed everybody over, like I said in the story before, that helped take care of you. You don't bring that crap to your workplace. You don't embarrass your workplace like that, especially when they pay you like that and bring all these damn problems in the media. It's just sad. They should just simply say that. You two grown-ass people need to learn how to work out your damn marriage and not bring down the whole university and the whole athletic department because you don't know how to do it. The stuff about him cheating on her and him having sex toys, well, obviously she wasn't doing what needed to be done at home or else he wouldn't have been doing that. And he's dumb for staying with her anyway. If it's that difficult, then you need to get away from the woman because obviously you're not home, you're not satisfied at home, and then you're having all these problems. So then why are you still with her if you got a job like coaching at Ohio State? That's dumb. And you're Earl Bruce's grandson, you got a reputation to uphold. You might have, it's sad that this is a new day in America, but this is a new day in America. You have to get divorced because some of these women do not appreciate anything. They just don't. They think that everything is about control and power, and once you see that they think like that, you get the hell away from them. And that's the end of it. So, they were talking about West Virginia yesterday and the game being off campus. I really hope West Virginia lives up to the hype and sticks it to the out-of-conference schedule. I really do, man, because it will be a big deal. And, you know, the SEC Network and Feinbaum and ESPN are talking about them playing Tennessee. West Virginia has a legitimate shot at winning this game, guys. They really do. And then the game versus NC State, I mean, they give Dan Holgorsen a hard time, man, but if he pulls this off and he goes into league play, somehow, guys, undefeated, West Virginia might have a chance, and hopefully the fans up there be happier because I know they want to win, and it's been hard for them to, I wouldn't say win. They win every year, but it's been hard for them to be elite winners. I think they want to be in that conversation with Oklahoma every year up there in Morgantown, and it's frustrating that they're not. Also, the story there was how Coach Holgorsen was really upset with the amount of practice time. I believe he said they started August 15th, But Tennessee started later. But I remember when I was looking at blogs, guys, early in the summer before I started doing the podcast, I remember it showed that Tennessee had started practice early, like when the NFL teams started. I believe they started on, like, July 29th. So, yeah, I don't know why he's mad at the NCAA. I think that's something that his university should do. And now, let me say something else, guys. There's a couple opening games on this weekend. I honestly think this is how it should be. Like, this is what I miss about late 90s, early 2000s, even before when it came to college football. This week was the opening weekend, and then next weekend was the second weekend with Labor Day. And I don't like how, you know, so many schools start on the 15th, and then they don't have a game until September 1st. I mean, that's just too long for the students not to have something to do. In addition to that, why don't we move people in on the 15th and the freshmen do the orientation, and then everybody who's been there for however many years, they move in on Friday, start school this past Monday, then this weekend be opening weekend, because I don't like us being so close to the NFL schedule. I think college football should be almost done when it comes November, especially when they want to start putting regular season basketball games on. And if we want to start doing this playoff, now, you know, first it was we don't like the BCS. Now we got a 14 playoff. Now that's not good enough. If we get a 16 playoff, somebody will complain about that. It's like, you know, everybody just keeps hop, skipping, jumping around with no, like, nobody's satisfied about anything. And that's what I don't get with these athletic administrators and some of these coaches. And, like, nobody stands up anymore. And I feel like this group of men, this group of athletic administrators and coaches and men in power, I feel like they've let your men down. They've let young men down because they haven't stood up for anything. They've just let saying sorry and because when you say sorry and you just do these things anyway, you're admitting guilt. And when you're teaching people to admit guilt when there is no guilt, that's very scary because what you're telling young boys to do is say they're guilty of something they didn't do and get them put in jail or get their record screwed up or something bad happened to them. So, I mean, where is it going to stop? Is it going to take for boys to just boycott going to college for a year? Is it going to take a football season boycott? Like, at some point we need to write a treat, just like they have that Title IX rule. They need to have MGTOW and men come in there and write down a rule for males saying, I will not go to jail. I will not be kicked out. I will not be suspended. I now will not be ridiculed based on some female's emotion or her mistake that she made in her own life. The whole world should not have to suffer because of one individual mistake, bad judgment, or unhappiness. We all go through stuff every day. The city we live in doesn't stop, and the mayor doesn't come out and apologize for something that's going wrong in our personal lives or because of a mistake we made, and we get to cry about it and say, I had bad judgment, but the mayor of whatever city we're living in wasn't able in my bad judgment because he didn't do anything about this. Like, at some point, we have to hold everybody responsible for their own actions because if we don't, that's the first step to anarchy in the society. And I tell you one thing now, men are not going to sit around and let that replace that happen. So just the way they have these Title IX rules, college athletes and males on campus, y'all need to get lawyers involved and y'all need to have a rule. Y'all need to separate yourselves because guess what happens if men stop going to college, if men stop working? This economy will be upside down because it's not hard for men to start their own stuff and just separate and keep money to themselves. Not that hard. So what we have to do is at some point you have to get legal back because every other day I don't want to hear something about somebody being accused of something that just was a little misunderstanding or was somebody being irresponsible now trying to claim victimhood. This has been Big 12 Nation. I hate talking political the whole podcast, but it's just very scary. Because I feel like people who have sons coming up, we don't know what your son's fate is going to be based on the type of stupid stuff that's going on now. Your son, your nephew, or any male, because everybody wants to talk about your daughter, you're this, your son can literally go to jail or you're suspended or kicked out of a campus for somebody who makes up something. Big Soul Nation, everybody look at that. I just want everybody to think about that.